This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
And welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name is Kate and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we'll talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is, and what AA can do to help. Then, we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. I'm now going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every AA meeting.
Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
So, what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model, and the victim is as helpless as a sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you're at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. If you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognise it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it is an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is one is too many and a thousand is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink. This makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who has just joined us, you are listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We are just about to interview an AA member who is going to share their experience with alcoholism. So, let's meet our guest. Would you like to just introduce yourself by your first name and...
Hi, I'm Catherine and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Catherine. So, if you'd just like to let me know maybe, you know, how long you've been sober, a little bit about your family life.
I'm 6 years sober in July, all going well, and I'm blessed to have a really happy family life now. I've got two kids and I work part-time as an administrator. Really busy life, and really I have to say it's thanks to AA. I wouldn't be here otherwise.
And so where are you from here in Christchurch, Catherine?
Born and bred.
Yeah.
Been away a little bit here and there, but here I am.
So tell me a little bit, if you can, just about, you know, obviously about your drinking.
I feel like I was born an alcoholic because I've always been really uncomfortable in my own skin. And so I feel like when I think about it, that kind of the way I was before I started drinking, it was always that way. Like there was something wrong with me, but I didn't know what it was. And then I drank first. Oh, I was always sampling little bits and pieces around the house and things with parents, putting my finger in wine glasses and all that kind of thing. So I always had this more of an interest in alcohol than other people, I think. I didn't know that at the time. I thought that was normal. Probably from age six kind of thing, just sort of stick my finger in. But I'd say, oh, no, I don't like that. And then I had a big blackout drunk thing when I was about 14 with my brother, who thought that he was doing me a favour because he thought if he got me drunk then I wouldn't like it. He had a theory about that, but anyway, it didn't go very well. But I wanted to do it again. So instead of thinking, oh yeah, I thought, oh, that's kind of, and I thought I was kind of cool because I'd done this really grown up thing, getting really drunk, that being sick, and so it didn't actually put me off. But for whatever reason, I feel like I was being looked after. I didn't go crazy and keep doing that on and off for, at the beginning, I met a boy and he became my addiction. And so he and I were like joined at the hip, and everyone else around us was really big on drinking, but we were sort of big on each other, and we didn't. So, but it was just waiting. It was just waiting. And then I discovered or rediscovered how much I liked alcohol to make me feel different, probably in my early 20s. Still with him, but things weren't going so great. And because all along I hated myself. So it just never felt right. And then I started drinking a bit more, and he did, and it's like, oh, this is the answer. Oh, this is why everyone keep getting drunk. And you know, and anyway, so it just went on and on, off and on and on, and was always with me, and it was just getting worse and worse. And then he actually, the same boy who I married and took hostage, we took each other hostage. Anyway, he actually was brave enough to say to me, I think your drinking's a problem, and you need to stop. And I thought, well, I can stop. But it was really hard when I stopped. It was awful because everything came in. I understand it now, but at the time, I didn't. This is still 20 years ago when I first stopped. And, so it's been a long way to get to this point. So I stopped then, and then, but I was a dry drunk. Now I know that. I didn't know that then. I just thought, I'm going insane, and realised underneath that I had a problem, but no. Didn't blame it on that, just blamed it on him and everybody else. So we eventually were no longer. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to start drinking again, because he was wrong. So I started drinking again, and it was worse still. And I could not stop. And it was blackouts. It was messy. It was stereotype divorcee out and about, dancing on tables. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, and really unsafe behaviour. So it, went on and on. Anyway, so, and I knew. And I was seeing a counsellor, and she happened to be, her office happened to be in the same building area as the AA service centre at the time. And I would creep past that AA as if they were going to pull me in, because they knew. Because she would talk to me a little bit as a counsellor about my drinking, and I'd just say, no, I'm all right. Oh, no. Knowing underneath that there was a problem, but I was not ready. So, yeah, it's taken a while. Anyway, so I got desperate enough in the end that it was a problem. Fast forward, I was married with children. I had stopped and started, all the while feeling just so bad about myself. And my kids actually got me into the rooms, because, not that they didn't know that, but I wanted to kill myself, because I knew I couldn't stop drinking. It didn't do anything for me anymore. I didn't want to drink, but I didn't know how to not drink, and I just wanted to kill myself. And I thought, I can't do that to my kids. So thank God I knew I couldn't do that, but what was I going to do? And I remembered about those AA rooms when I'd seen the counsellor and how I had been dishonest with the counsellor. And by that time, I'd seen even more counsellors and lied to them or told, just said nothing. So I thought, I'm going to have to go to an AA meeting. I'm just going to have to go because there's nothing else to do. So I went to an AA meeting and it was terrifying. Only outside was it terrifying, in the car park, when I thought, I'm not going in there. Got in there. Amazing. And, yeah, things got better after that. That's it in a nutshell.
It's interesting, you know, you talk about, obviously, when you started drinking, you know, it made you drank to feel different and then, you know, progressing along further, you're saying it's not doing anything for you anymore. No. And then you've discovered AA. Now, you say it was amazing. Can you elaborate, like, what was amazing for
you? Well, I was so scared and also so convinced that I knew I had a problem, but I thought, not necessarily an alcoholic, though. But if they can teach me to maybe just drink one, maybe that's the clue. I had no idea what was ahead and what AA did. And I went in, and all these people just were so friendly, particularly the women, and they were giving me their numbers, and I was a bit overwhelmed, like, what is going on? And I felt like part of them as well. Like, I was listening to people and really thinking, oh, you're saying that out loud. That's what I feel like. That's what I'm like. Yeah. So, and I felt like I could actually go back, and I wanted to go back. I was actually quite excited because I thought, maybe I can feel better. So I got hope right in that very first meeting.
I love that. Yep. I was just about to say, I could hear that hope and you expressing that. It's fantastic. So you come into AA, you know, you're learning about, you know, you're hearing people that are sober. Mm. What have you done yourself to ensure to keep sober yourself?
I have to say that I went in there and I still didn't accept that I was an alcoholic.
Right.
It sounds crazy after having that wonderful experience, but I just wasn't 100% ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I did actually have, I left for 3 weeks, but I know people that have left for a lot longer than that, and so I'm really grateful I did go back in. So just to say that is my story, that I at first had that, you know, like, this is, and then I just, the disease was saying, nah. So I went away and drank, but as soon as I had that drink, I knew, I am. So fortunately, with the help of the sponsor and I was back in, and after that, you know, almost 6 years later, my recovery is different to what it was at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I had to go to as many meetings as I possibly could. I was absolutely desperate. I was also kind of addicted to my meetings in a way, but I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. So I got I just soaked it up, and I was in touch with so many people, and my sponsor relationship was. That changed. I have a different sponsor now, but so I had to have someone very firm on me.
Mm-hmm.
The first sponsor wasn't so firm because I didn't want them to be, so I was attracted to someone who was a bit softer. So once I came back, I knew that I had to have someone that was really into the steps and really into guiding me. So that was a change. And I was doing more service. So things were shifted a little bit as my life's gotten better and fuller. And I have a period of time where my kids are really full on busy. I've talked to my sponsor about just for a time where I'm not as involved with service and with meetings, but I have other things that I do, anything I can, to keep in the program. But it's actually okay. Like I had to struggle with that about changing, because I was scared to change my program because it felt safe. Like, oh no, if I change this, then but I've learned that recovery grows as you grow. You know, your program can change at different times of your life depending on where you're at. So, But for me, I read AA literature every day. I talk to my sponsor. Well, I have daily contact with my sponsor, and we make sure we talk at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I have daily contact with a number of other people in the program so that I can just keep connected and be honest about how a day might be going or not.
Yeah.
And it's that reaching out to others for them, but for me as well, and little bits of service here and there. And I love looking towards the future and knowing that, you know, my kids are going to be grown in a blink of the eye, and they don't and won't need me in the same way. And then I can actually give back more to the program and get that for myself as well. when I first came in, I almost, you know, my husband said to me, I'm so happy that you're in AA, but I'm starting to feel like I'm losing you to AA. Mm. And I had to think about that and realise that actually I didn't go into AA. I went in for my children originally anyway. Mm. So I needed to look at, okay, and I talked to my sponsor about that. And she said, yeah, you didn't get sober to not be with your family. Mm. So I had to re-look at, okay, so how? What's the balance here? And but that's all been a learning exercise.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting that you talk about that balance because it sometimes can be really hard to, you know, to find that balance with kids, with work, with family, with meetings, with, you know, that time with your sponsor and things as well. So where to from here for you at the moment? Like, what do you have goals for the future or anything else that you see yourself doing? I mean, almost six years sober, that's absolutely fantastic.
Mm.
So where to from here for you and for...
It's really important for me to stay in the day, so yep. I don't think too much about the future. I do actually. I try not to. I try not to because I can get really caught up in that. I just really want to help my family, yeah, grow some good kids, even though I have to know that they're going to do what they're going to do, but be part of their lives. And, you know, there was a time there when they were little that I just wasn't. I wasn't present. Physically, I was present, but I wasn't with my heart and emotionally. And fortunately, they're little enough that they don't really remember, but I remember that. And, I love that I'm involved with them so much and everything that they need. And then my husband and I are really close, and he's really grateful that I've got he reminds me about meetings and things like that when you can see that perhaps that's a good idea. So he knows that it works for him as well as for me, for our family. And so, you know, we talk about the future and we're really excited about whatever's going to happen once they've grown. And I love my work. It's part-time, but it's, you know, it's still really important to me. So, yeah, I think it's quite simple. And I used to have all these big lofty ideas and plans which never came to fruition because I was just drinking on my couch quietly in the corner, not doing anything. Mm. So, and I thought I was going to die. I never thought I'd get to 40. Actually, I couldn't, each sort of decade I'd think, oh, well, I won't get to that one anyway because I'll just be dead. So I don't think that way now. It's amazing. Mm.
What I hear when you're talking, and I love it, is that, you know, this was, you know, you come into AA with a drinking problem with alcoholism, yet this has rippled into all areas of your life. You know, it's obviously, you know, your relationship with your husband, your kids, your work life. You sound fulfilled.
Yeah.
In sort of every area.
And I've got a big extended family as well. Yeah. And I mean, that was just dysfunctional. I was just revolting and horrible to them. And, you know, by having the steps to work through, you know, I've been able to make amends to them and to have actual meaningful relationships with them and be kind. And, you know, I like to think I'm okay company. You know, I was a drunk and I was annoying and they want something, you know, they want me in their lives. Mm. So yeah, and to be a daughter to an elderly parent as well and that kind of thing, be useful in that way.
Mm.
It's a gift.
It really is. So what would you suggest to anyone listening that may have an inkling or an idea that maybe they've got a drinking problem?
If someone was listening now, I mean, whoever, but, you know, I sort of picture of what I was like. I didn't know about this radio program, but I would have been one of those people that would have, if I'd have known about it, I would have secretly listened to it when I was drunk and thought, oh, no, you know, and maybe I would have done something earlier. But yeah, I do sometimes I see people come in and they're young and I think, oh, that's just so wonderful, because I as you know, I've said, I knew really early. I was in denial about it, but I really knew, and I knew that I needed to rely on a power higher than myself as well, because I knew that. It was just, I was in denial, and it's such a waste. And I try not to focus too much on that because I think, well, I'll go with what I've got now, and that, thank God I'm in now. But anyone listening, I just think, I know it's so scary, but just go to a meeting. Just find a meeting and go to a meeting. There's nothing to lose by going. Nobody's going to make you do anything.
I like that you touched on the higher power there. You know, AA, some people might, if they don't know about AA, think that it's a religious sort of idea. But, you know, we learn once we come into the rooms that it's more of a spiritual idea, and you just briefly spoke about a higher power. Can you just... You know, how does spirituality differ from religion to you? Like, how have you found that?
It's so different.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. in my opinion. I I know so many people that have said to me that, no, I'm an AA. They're like, oh, and so it's all about God, isn't it? And I'm like, no, it's not actually. But I mean, everyone's got their own spirituality, so personal, and it's such an individual thing, because it's really, for me, that it's about accepting that you're not it. There's something bigger than you. And that is so freeing, because then I don't have to worry, really. I can just say, hand it all over to whatever is out there that's bigger than me, and it's not me. And I don't have to be in charge of everything, and I don't have to control everything. And originally that was quite a foreign idea to me, and really scary. But no, it's actually the complete opposite. So I can go, oh, that's right, no. And it's, for me, I haven't had a negative experience of organised religion, but I know a lot of people have, and spirituality is individual, and it's not about being told this is how it is. You work it out yourself, you find what works for you, and some people will say God is it's their reference point, but it doesn't mean any kind of particular religion. It's just knowing that there's something bigger that operates. And for me, when I first came in, I was just really pleased to be able to fill that, what I call a God-shaped hole, or what I've heard called that, because it was like, ah, oh, okay, that was missing. But I know for some people that it's just being in the rooms, just being in a group of drunks, being with others, that fills that, because it's, again, it's bigger than just you, and you're not on your own.
What are some things that you do, if you don't mind sharing, on a, you know, what on a daily basis, sort of, what do you do to maintain your recovery today?
I've got a routine, because I have to, otherwise I'm so lazy, naturally really lazy and disorganised. So I every morning I have to and want to do my readings. So I've got particular literature that I read every day. It's very comforting and very settling. I pray to my higher power, and I have people that I contact every day, including my sponsor. For me, it's texting, that works for me. But, you know, it might be a phone call, but days are really full. And at night time, I pray and reflect on the day. That's a daily kind of, that's daily. And I have meetings that I go to regularly. Yeah, but I have longer term, I have sort of things that I work on, like step work and that kind of thing, in particular readings and stuff, and workshops and a lot of stuff to listen to, like podcasts and like radio shows and yeah, that kind of thing as well, just to keep me well.
Yeah. Oh, that's so lovely. It's been really lovely, Catherine. Thank you very much for sharing your story with us. For our listeners, if you've related to anything that you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up on the web at www.aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Work. There are around 60 meetings a week in Canterbury, so it's likely there's one near you. Join us next week to hear from more AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 5:30 p.m. on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesdays at 12:30 p.m. You can find podcasts of all our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you want to drink, that's your business. But if you want to stop, we can help. You don't have to do it alone. We will now close the show with the Serenity Prayer, as we do in every AA meeting.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.
challenge. The girls got